Hi, and welcome to It Starts Now. I've got a pretty good idea that a lot of people are going to relate to this podcast today, this episode today, rather. I speak with Dr. Lynell Plummer. She, among other things, amazing. She is the chief executive officer of Onyx Therapy Group. She's a therapist. She's a physician. She specializes in mental health. She helps you with your problems. She knows when you're going through something, what she can suggest, how she can help you attack it, relieve yourself, and address it. She is the person that you should be talking to, and not at a situation where you're trying to enjoy yourself with drinks and cocktails. I'm just putting it out there. I want to say this to a lot of my friends, and especially people of color. You guys think that just because you are saying or you want to go to a therapist or mental health facility or whatever to find out what's not going right with you, you automatically think that it's a sign of weakness. And it's not. It's a sign that you want to get whatever is going on in your situation figured out. Instead of telling everybody else when you're, you know, trying to enjoy yourself, you're telling everybody about your goddamn shit. I'm venting. And when I sat and talked with Dr. Lynell Plummer, one of the things that I took away from, she told me, and I didn't know this, your girl has suffering or is suffering or has suffered from acute stress symptoms. And that basically means that the stuff that happened during the pandemic, the loss of job, the loss of business, the loss of a lot of stuff, kind of have me going to a situation where all I have to hear is the word mask, or we're going to get masked up, or we're going to, if you know, COVID is coming back. I go into a panic mode that is insane. So I want you guys to listen to what Dr. Plummer has to say. Get your medical card. Get your copay, because I literally thought I should have given her some money for this, because I can't say enough about how wonderful this podcast was. So take notes, sit back, relax, because guess what? It starts now. Welcome back to the podcast. I have the pleasure. I met this young lady, and I couldn't believe she was a doctor because she looked so young. But, you know, she was fabulous. She was gorgeous. And she had a lot to say. Her name is Dr. Lynell Plummer. She is a therapist at Onyx. Let me make sure I got this right. Onyx Therapy Group in Washington, D.C. And, you know, we were just talking about, and the show she was on was talking about mental health and therapy. And one of the things that I want her to share with you guys is why in the Black community, we think going to a therapist, seeking therapy, asking a therapist anything is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I suggested I'll see someone that I realize and I know that they probably need to talk to a therapist, and they just write it off and go, oh, girl, I'm fine. You know, I just go on and go and get me a drink. Like, Really? That's not it.
No, it's not it at all. And I am so excited to be here with you today and looking forward to this conversation that we get to have. You know, my work is largely centered on the experiences, the mental health experiences for marginalized communities. Mm-hmm. And for a large group of that, it is centered on Black women and folks in the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. But many people are marginalized for many reasons other than their race and their gender. And yet that status or that identity and marginalization tends to intersect with mental health for them in some negative ideas and negative cognitions. Specifically, people thinking that mental health is for those that are severely mentally ill. And that comes from this concept, or the history rather, of how mental health was created and perceived, thinking about people who had schizophrenia or people mm-hmm. who were delusional or had hallucinations, thinking about people who had very strong psychosis. And because of the extremity of those particular disorders, many people did not consider themselves or see themselves within the realm of needing mental health support. But yet we have issues like depression or anxiety, social anxiety, or post-traumatic stress, or even acute stress disorder. And those things are related to mental health too. You know, a lot of people don't even consider how the way we communicate, the way we problem solve, the way we see ourselves, the way we accomplish our dreams and goals, they don't always see how that's connected to mental health, but it 100% is connected to mental health. And so I created this company, Onyx Therapy Group, because I wanted there to be a voice and there to be names and there to be experiences connected to mental health, so clients could see themselves in the therapist that they're working with, and they could have some relatability and they could have some understanding, as well as some psychoeducation to understand what mental health really is. It's not just about the extreme disorders, the extreme personality disorders or mood disorders. Sometimes mental health can be affected simply by the ways that we talk to our partner in a relationship, or the generational cycles that we're trying to break in raising our children, or even the ways that we pursue our career, and the moments we have imposter syndrome, or the moments where we feel really excited and still don't know what to do with that energy, because as marginalized people, we haven't always been afforded the opportunity to experience unfiltered joy.
Absolutely. You know, there was something that you had discussed on the show that I worked on with you, and it was called acute stress symptoms.
Yeah.
And what was so brilliant about that is I just discovering myself that I have that based on the whole pandemic and not being able to work. And I'm on this mode now where if I hear the word, we're going to mask again, I panic. Yeah. I go into a panic mode, and I'm understanding it now because I heard you talk about it. But are there a lot of people that are suffering from this now based on just the whole pandemic itself?
Yeah, absolutely. There are. Acute stress disorder is one of the more underdiagnosed disorders just because a lot of people don't know about it. And unfortunately, some of our graduate schools focus on the bigger mental health disorders like major depressive disorder or generalized anxiety disorder. And so they don't get taught or trained in acute stress disorder, which is why I love being able to own Onyx and be in charge of our clinical experiences, because it ensures that all of my staff members are properly trained on the wide range of mental health disorders so that the treatment could be accurate and most appropriate for the clients that are trusting us with their healing process. Acute stress disorder is that disorder that is largely centered on stress and traumas. Mm-hmm. And it is not as severe as post-traumatic stress per se. Like, we don't have the same amount of intrusive or unwelcome thoughts, or we may not completely alter our lives around for the trauma or the stress that we've experienced, and yet it's still affecting our mental health. We find that acute stress disorder and the specifiers and symptoms that come along with it often happen in cases like you just mentioned, where there's a shift in job, there's a shift mm-hmm. in employment, there's a shift in income. It's really a matter of all these shifts that are happening in our lives that are unwelcomed and that cause additional stress. And in some situations, it could be connected to a traumatic event. And subsequently, if it's not treated, it'll turn into post-traumatic stress disorder. In our Black and Brown communities, we also consider acute stress disorder as it relates to microaggressions at work,
or
connected to relationships that are not as successful. You know, we have to consider the historical connections of what it means to be Black and what it means to be in a relationship. When we think about slavery and the Black experience, a lot of people were not able to be married or to stay married without being separated from each other. So our relationships with our spouses are not always the same as our relationships, the spousal relationships in the majority white group. And that doesn't mean that we don't have the desire or the intention or even the skills to have a successful relationship, but we've also been socialized to not always trust our partner, to always kind of be waiting for the other shoe to drop, to always be waiting for something to happen. And that's not because it's always been explicitly taught. It may be part of our genetic makeup because of the past traumatic experiences of our ancestors who were not able to enjoy marriage. you know, there's this research on the genetic imprinting of trauma for Holocaust survivors and their descendants. There's not a lot of research on it for Black folks specifically, but we do know from those studies around the Holocaust survivors and genetic imprinting that the same things happen to us here in the Black community, where our ancestors experienced a lot of trauma, and it makes us more susceptible to trauma as well.
So the healthcare system doesn't always think of mental health as important, which is kind of sad.
It is.
It's very sad. I mean, because you can tell somebody, you can call, you can reach out and say, look, I really think I need to come in. I'm experiencing something, some things that I've never had. Can I please, you know, come in? And they just don't take it as seriously as I think they should.
Right. I agree with that completely. I think that the challenge is that we have consistently considered medical and physical health as components of physical science. We think mm-hmm. about it in terms of biology and chemistry, and how those chemicals that are in our body, or how our biological makeup is within our body, how that's connected to science. And because there had not historically been a lot of research on science and the brain as it connects to the mind and our mental health, people don't always take it seriously. You know, sometimes we even use words interchangeably that are inappropriate. The brain is different from the mind. Right. The mind is what affects mental health, but the brain is a physical health component, right? And so if there's challenges with the brain as a matter of physical health, they are going to have implications on one's mental health too. If there is a spiked amygdala in the brain, it's going to impact the mental health and how a person understands and perceives their emotions. And then it's going to have an impact on behavioral health in terms of what they do with those emotions and how they behave accordingly. So there's all these correlations and connections between physical health and mental health, but because they have not been studied in a congruent fashion, then people have decided to separate them. But we're all healthcare providers. And just like one's mental health may be compromised, it will affect their mental health or their physical health as well. If I have a client who is severely depressed, they may not be working out, or they may not be taking their medication. They may not be taking care of their physical bodies. And subsequently, there will be a decline in their physical health as well. I do wish that the healthcare system created more areas of study and more courses that really allowed for there to be the clear understanding and connection between physical health and mental health. And we're starting to see some changes here in the field now when we are studying neuroplasticity, and we're understanding the different chemicals in the body and how they affect mental health, like dopamine and serotonin, and the connection to digestive health, right? And I say that specifically for my Black folks, because boy, we love some spicy foods. Right? We love our spices and we love our sugars. The big debate is whether we should put sugar on grits and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, don't get me started.
But some of those chemicals affect our digestive health in that we are not able to pass without being explicit, right? Like if our digestive system isn't working well, then maybe we feel sluggish, or we feel mm-hmm. Constipated, or we just have pains in that digestive area. But the other mental health component of that is that if our digestive health isn't well, our dopamine and our serotonin, which are neurotransmitters and chemicals that help us stay happy and to help us have elevated experiences, those don't get released. So in other words, what I'm saying is that if we don't eat properly and we don't have good digestion, we also probably don't feel joy in our everyday life. And sometimes people think that they just don't have joy because they're in pain, but they're also not having joy because the chemicals that are connected to joy and to their happiness are being suppressed because of the food that we ate. So there's like all these connections that are there, and the work we get to do at Onyx and the work I get to do as a public speaker really centers on that. I mean, I know we don't have a whole lot of time today, mm-hmm. but that's the work that I do in educating Black and Brown folks, marginalized folks, around these connections of our lived experiences as being marginalized, having historical connections of being oppressed, and how those elements, along with the foods that we eat, affect our mental health.
And, you know, no one ever said that. No one has ever said that. that the correlation between eating or what you eat or what you put inside your body can affect the way you feel. No one says that.
It doesn't that suck? Because it means that there's a whole lot of people walking around with mental health issues that are completely preventable by just changing their diet. When clients come into us at Onyx, that's one of the first things we ask them about. What is your eating like and what is your sleeping? Because your body needs to be able to have time to rejuvenate those cells that got depleted during your workday. You know, if you're exhausted and then you don't get enough sleep, you're not waking up and making good decisions, right? Like your emotions, you're a little bit more sensitive. Your emotions are all over the place. You're not using the best parts of your brain to think through problems or to communicate properly. And all because we didn't get enough sleep. You know what I mean? Like it's so connected to our the intersection and the overlap of our physical health and our mental health. And I do wish that more Black and Brown folks knew about this information, but we have lots of political and economic challenges that prevent that, right? Which is always why I love to be on podcasts and be on the news, do public speaking so I could really educate as many people as possible in just a short amount of time, like the few minutes that we have here. Hopefully there are people who are listening and they're like, ah, that does make sense. You know, when I do eat that, I do feel sluggish the next day. Or yes, mental health is connected to the way that I solve problems or even the way I see myself when I get dressed and I'm about to go hang out with friends. All of that is connected to mental health. And I do wish that more people would speak about it. But if they don't, guess who will? Me. I'm gonna talk about it.
Well, you just hit on something. You said, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, lay on your couch right now, but you just literally hit something. I put on certain clothes and I literally go into a different state if it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
I felt great when I was putting it on, and then I put on something that I haven't and whatever, and it just totally transforms me into a whole different person.
Yeah. Some of that is connected to our core beliefs, right? Like the messages that we received. I work with a lot of women around the messages we received during socialization around how women are more successful if they're pretty, or they're more successful if they're quiet, or they're more successful if they serve others instead of serving themselves. Well, some of those things have a backlash when it comes to a person's purpose or when it comes to how a person sees themselves. Oftentimes we are beginning to work with us. We have clients who, like you mentioned, put on clothes and they get dressed and they're like, I don't like the way I look and I'm never going to. And then it spirals, right? Like
right,
I'm never
going to
have this and I'm never going to experience that. And I'll never have this partnership. And it just goes down and spiral really quickly. And a lot of that is connected to our core beliefs, the messages that we absorbed unconsciously or subconsciously, right? And it starts as young as little babies. Baby girls are giving baby dolls as toys? From the very beginning, we're told that we need to take care of somebody to be successful. We need to take care of somebody to be valued. And that's not always fair and it's not always true, but that affects our mental health, those core beliefs, and subsequently those cognitive distortions that begin to form. Many, many beautiful women, and not just beautiful in traditional standard, but many beautiful women doubting who they are and their character of who they are simply because somebody years ago said something negative to them or told them to focus on one thing as opposed to letting them fly limitless into all possibilities of the beautiful life and purpose they could have.
Oh, someone telling you, you know, your Black skin is not beautiful.
Right.
And whenever I see someone who has this chocolate dark skin, the first thing I say, oh my God, you are absolutely breathtaking. And they come back and they go, really? Because all my life I'm like, are you serious? But you're absolutely right.
Absolutely right. And the thing is we don't always focus on those things, right? We don't think that those things are connected to our mental health. As Black people in this country, we have always been socialized to just keep on pushing. And so we have these thoughts and we have these emotions and we say, I don't have the time or the luxury to sit down and process them. I just got to keep on going. So I push it to the never really push it to the back. And it had going back to the question you asked before, pushing it to the back is not a real thing.
Nope.
We are also the ones that are highly affected by physical health issues, diabetes, hypertension, thyroid issues. We are also, as Black women, the ones that have the most fibroids and are asked to have hysterectomies quite early. We're also the ones that are dying in the times where we're pregnant or have children, and that connects to the maternal mental health. Our physical challenges are so extreme that it reflects that we are not actually pushing it to the side. We're going to show up. And instead of just showing up in our mind and the ways that we think, it's also going to show up in our physical body. So for me, it's better that when it comes, we just address it right when it happens, right? When we start to have these negative thoughts, these distortions, these maladaptive behaviors, you know, these defenses and defense mechanisms, as those things start to arise, let's fix it right away so that it doesn't metastasize into something far more extreme that becomes a lot more costly, not just financially costly, but emotionally costly to fix and to address and treat.
My last question, when should someone decide to seek therapy, in your opinion?
Oh my God, I think everybody should be in therapy all the time.
Thank you. Oh my God, don't get out of my head.
I don't think there has to be a particular experience or event that occurs. You know, the other side of therapy, we have some clients that are in therapy for years. And at that point, they're just used to having a therapist, right? Because there's benefits to therapy beyond just the treatment of what one perceives as a mental health disorder or not a mental health disorder. Think about it this way. When and where in your life do you have 1 hour a week for somebody to just focus on you? Where you are not having to give anything, you're not having to do anything, you're not having to explain too much, but for 1 hour, you are the center of attention. When does that happen, right? Like, think about if you had 1 hour just to think about you, all the things you could process, all the plans you can start to create, all the goals you can start to achieve, because your therapist is helping you with that goal creation and with that goal accomplishment and achievement as well, right? It's not just about the psychosis or the schizophrenia or delusions. It's not just about major depressive disorder or social anxiety. It's also about being proactive and understanding yourself, increasing your self-awareness, having somebody who's cheering you on to help you accomplish those goals and to watch you evolve and grow. It's about that 1 hour that's dedicated just to you and the things that are important to you. So I don't think there has to be any traumatic events or anything negative that happens in order for a person to go to therapy. Just go, be proactive. You don't have to wait until you have a headache to go see your doctor, right? You still go see your doctor because it's part of your annual plan or your biannual plan. You don't wait for a root, you don't wait for a cavity in order to go see your dentist. You just go see your dentist to be proactive. So come on to therapy and just be proactive in the process.
Well, Dr. Plummer, it has been not only very enlightening, but truly a pleasure. And are you taking new clients?
Oh, you know I am. Listen, we are here for the community, okay? We are taking new clients. We are working with schools. So if there are principals and teachers that are listening in, we do have our school-based mental health program. If there are government contractors and government employees, we also do local government and federal government contracting. But yes, we spend a lot of time with our direct clients. And we're in DC, but we're also in Maryland, and we're in Pennsylvania, we're in Louisiana, we're in Virginia. And for those international listeners, we are also in Johannesburg, South Africa. We are where the need calls us to be.
And we do have a lot of international clients. So I'm glad you threw that out there. And what I'll do is I'll put Dr. Plummer's information in the show notes so you guys can reach her at www.onyxtherapygroup.com is her website. And you know, you need to reach out to her because she is amazing and just broke it down. Broke it down.
Thank you, sis. You know, that's my purpose. That's what they put me on this earth for. Shout out to the ancestors who chose me.
Oh my God. Amen to that. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I love this time with you, and please welcome me back whenever you need me for specific topics or for general topics. I'm here to help. So just let me know. And for those of you all that are listening, please, yes, do check out our website. On that website, you'll see links to our podcast. You'll see links to our blog. You'll see links to the food that we recommend people eating, as well as recipes and mocktails for those folks that are wanting to reduce their alcohol consumption. And you'll see the beautiful biographies of our clinical staff and our education and trainers as well.
I love that. Yeah. Oh my God. Dr. Plummer, thank you so much.
Of course. I'm here for you.
Oh my God. You be blessed, sister.
You too. Have a good one.
You too. Hi, this is Juanita. And if you enjoyed today's show, like us, love us, and support us. We really do need the support right now because we are in season 2. And we would love to have you support this show. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody that you know would appreciate hearing a show like this. Until then, you take care.